Well, we're not going to spend a lot of time taking breaks on this show because, as you know, we have something going on and you guys are calling in and we want to keep the flow going. The phone number is 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Before we get back into the flow of things, Bob made available to me some of the transcripts of the sessions that that you had between you, Chandler, and Bob and the gentleman there. Question that I had made a note on that I'd like to ask real quick before we jump back into our regularly scheduled programming is they had mentioned that all information is monitored. I was wondering about thoughts. Are all thoughts monitored?
Okay, that's a good one. It's like a yes, no answer. Yes, they are, but not in the way that we think they are, as in somebody's listening, but the fact that they happen and, you know, it's the act that they've been created, which makes them, you know, like, it's recorded because it's created.
Oh, interesting.
Okay, it's not that there's somebody sitting somewhere listening to everybody's thoughts. it's the fact that they, you know, we actually create them, and so they're living things.
So that's one level, but are they being recorded by human instruments?
Is it, M says it can be, yes.
So but are they now?
All of them, he says?
Yes. Are they recording people's thoughts? Can they do that?
Yes, they can. He says it's like the TV. Some channels are better than others. So they obviously listen to certain people and not others.
Okay, but you're saying on the natural level, the interdimensional level, all thought is recorded in the Akashic Records? Is that the thought they're pointing out?
It's like recorded inside time, so...
Yes.
Imagine it as time as the roll of film, and then the thoughts are the pictures that go on them.
Yes. But there are technologies... now, Poindexter, if... Evan, reading the transcripts, knows we've been analyzing Poindexter's technology and how it's affecting the astral plane, which was the original reason McLuhan came to us to warn us. Do they have an update on that, and does that include the technology to record thought, or are they doing other stuff, Poindexter and his secret group?
Okay. Okay, they're showing me with Poindexter, he's actually kind of like moved sideways.
Like a sidewinder?
Yeah. I don't know, they're just gesturing the sideways aspect. And the actual technology... the actual technology itself is just blowing, shaking his head, just like, you know, you wouldn't... Like you wouldn't believe it.
It's checking us out, you said.
Yeah, he's saying that what we know is just like an inkling to really what they're capable of.
Well, what are they capable of then? I mean, do they have AI?
Artificial intelligence.
Yes.
And is it? I mean, when Bob talks about the android mean coming alive, is this a subset of it?
Sorry, can you repeat that for me?
Is this AI, is it conscious? Is it self-aware?
Okay, yeah, he's saying yes. Okay, this is we've got the bureaucrats turning up now. He's getting arrested here.
The astral bureaucrat showed up.
Now. He's like, you can't say this stuff.
Well, tell Frank to play Black Napkin.
Yeah, exactly. Frank, break out the guitar.
He's like trying to chain himself to the railings here.
I've heard of a computer called the Supervisor, which links up most of the world government onto a huge grid or something. Is there a singular system? Is the AI so big that it is global and it links governments?
No, this is... a very specific, he's calling it an entity, you know, it's an entity in itself that lives, you know, it's got its own little home where it lives, and, you know, it can go out and travel somewhere, take what it needs and go home again.
What?
It's in a little room.
Yeah, the, you know, they go, they, it's like living in a little box.
But it has its own awareness to be able to, like, I want to go for a walk.
And yeah, yeah, that, everyone's, you know, I think they, but yeah, they, okay, all right. Yeah,
they really tight controls
on this thing, obviously, because it could be, you know, it potentially could be a very dangerous thing. It's programmed to have certain characteristics. It's got certain personality, certain nature. So it's not the kind of personality to run off and want to do it all by itself.
Was it modeled off of an actual human being?
Okay, he's saying, no, it was more kind of like, reared like a child. So it grew up to be its own person. But obviously, there were certain programming parameters put in place for security reasons.
You know, this is something like what Frank sang about, you know, keeping the little baby in a jar. It sounds like what Frank was thinking about.
The test tube baby thing?
Yeah,
but in intelligence. I mean, somehow Frank had that kind of idea in some of his concepts, it seems. Does he agree with that?
Yes, he's saying yes, he does. Also, Emma's saying here that the kind of really important thing about this this entity, the most interesting aspect he's saying is that it can actually feel, so it has emotion.
Now, did Poindexter, was he part of the team that created this?
He's kind of saying, like, up and over a bit, but not really direct, and probably knew about it, but not directly related.
He funneled the funds for it, probably.
Yeah, he signed the checks.
And remember, we did months ago, they told us that there was an alien inside this software. Is the alien part of this Android meme, or is the alien the Android meme? We have maybe some definitions required here, considering, if you remember, Glo, what they said months before.
Okay.
Remember the alien?
Yeah, I do. Oh, sorry, it had actually gotten into the technology, hadn't it, itself?
Yes.
They didn't know what they were doing, and they actually yeah, that's right, I remember that now. Okay, what do you want to say about that, Em?
Yeah, he signed the checks. And remember, we did months ago, they told us that there was an alien inside this software. Is the alien part of this Android meme, or is the alien the Android meme? We have maybe some definitions required here, considering, if you remember, Glo, what they said months before.
Okay.
Remember the alien?
Yeah, I do. Sorry, it had actually gotten into the technology, hadn't it, itself?
Yes.
They didn't know what they were doing, and they actually yeah, that's right, I remember that now. Okay, what do you want to say about that, Em? Okay, they've contained it. They've got it, and they're like studying it. This is a very weird thing they're showing me here. It's like a really strange kind of light. And they have them in these.
And it got inside, we'll call it the Android meme. It's another part added, a parasite on the Android meme.
Yeah, it's like it's like a circle of wires in a clear plastic box. But it's got like, you know those things you put your hands on and the lights come out. What do you call them? Oh,
those little lightning balls.
Yeah, like that. They got light like that coming out of them.
Oh, that reminds me of the Matrix with those two assassins that were around the Merovingian that had those lightning coming out of their head. Bob, remember that?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, that's all he's showing me. It's contained, but it's.
It's not the Android meme that travels around. It's added to it. You see, are there two things we're talking about? The AI that they created, and did this alien thing start to feed on the same device?
Okay, now he's saying these two are separate.
Yeah, two separate things.
Yeah.
So the Android meme has a new partner there, so to speak, a roommate.
Yeah, it's like another aspect weaving through it.
Would they recommend a better term than Android meme in describing this AI that can go around the world?
They're looking at each other blankly.
Maybe you got it, Bob.
I guess I got it then.
Yes,
we've
you got
the
it.
Term.
They just went blank. So.
Hey, Chandler, darling, are you ready to take a question from a listener?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, right on. Okay, Gus, you're on with the channeler.
Thank you much. Evan and guests, bless you for embracing it all.
Yep.
Okay, just a technical comment. On the Internet, currently the IP address space is 2 to the 32nd minus 1. So that's a big space. That's a big number, but it doesn't go that far. The next round will be IPv6, which is 2 to the 64th minus 1, and that's, you know, like more molecules than there are in the universe. So there's plenty of space. Quickly move on.
Why do you bring that up?
I only mention it because you're talking about AI, artificial intelligence.
Yes.
And if there's anything to be made of artificial intelligence, it's that independent entities might communicate and get something done. Ultimately, it comes down to who is out there. And what I'm saying is, in practical terms, the Internet determines, for the time being, how many of us can communicate. And at the moment, it's 2 to the 32nd minus 1. And in the next round, it'll be IPv6, which is 2 to the 64th minus 1.
Well, what's interesting, Gus, is 232 is 232, which is a skull and bones 322, and the minus 1 is Bush, representative of that. So the symbolism in that
figure.
Well,
thank God we get to move beyond it, because IPv6 is out there. You can move to it if you want to. And there are 64-bit processors, et cetera. Anyway, I know I have limited time, so let me just say, statement A, peace. B, love. C, compassion. D, live and let live. Live and let live. And finally, my question, and this is what this is the ultimate question here. What do you think the numbers will be? What do you think will the percentages be for Bush, Kerry, and Kucinich? I'm interested. Bush, I'm guessing 46%, Kerry 53%, Kucinich 1 or 2%.
How much for Bush?
I'm guessing 46%, but he's going to lose. He's going to be routed.
Okay. And Kerry gets 50 something?
53 or 54, maybe. That's my guess.
But they don't want to talk about that.
Yeah.
No, of course they don't want to lose. Nobody wants to lose.
No, I mean that Frank and McLuhan Joyce do not want to comment on the outcome.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So if you got another question, what's something else?
Sure, okay. Can you flip a coin, heads or tails? Heads is Bush, tails is Kerry. No numbers required. No, I'm going to let go. You guys go at it.
Thanks,
guys. You're doing great. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. Or maybe what they can do is that paper, rock, scissors between them all, and, you know, we'll get a nice statistical average from that.
He didn't have any change. He only had notes.
But 2 months ago, they said that the candidates were little puppets, and they didn't think that it was that important, the whole issue of the presidential election.
Well, it is for us in the flesh. Really.
But you're not in the flesh. That's nostalgia.
Okay, yes. But it feels like, nostalgia feels pretty good. But
look, there are a million people killed by iatrogenic or medical-caused, hospital-caused diseases, way more than what's killed in Iraq.
Very true.
Why don't we talk about the AMA and the drug companies and the murder they do?
Well, we are going to, dagnabbit.
Okay.
Okay. Patrice, you have been so patient just hanging out and listening to all of this. Tell us, what are your thoughts? What are you thinking?
What do I think about?
Well,
hi, Glow. First of all,
hi, Patrice.
Nice
yeah.
to you.
Yeah.
I just love your voice.
Yes, I agree.
This is great. I spoke to my other brother, Bob, about doing this with you folks, and he said, okay, there's a question that if Frank can answer this, then he says, I will be a believer. And I wondered if I could ask the question.
Please.
Let me see, I wrote it down here. there was a night when Bob, Frank, and Smothers and a girl that they'd been traveling with were having dinner before the show that he did in New Orleans. I'm not sure of the year, but it must have been in the 80s. And three guys came over to their table, and one of them grabbed Bob and I guess asked him if he remembered him. And Bob said if Frank could give that person's name.
Hi, sorry, is that the rest of the question? Sorry, I have real problems hearing.
Okay. He wanted to know who the person was that came over and grabbed Bob, I guess, and grabbed him by the arm and said, hey, do you remember me?
Okay, so you want the name of the person?
Yes.
Oh, my word, you're not asking too much.
Well, this isn't my
idea. That's a hard one.
Does he remember the incident?
Yes, he does, because there was some other aspect related to it as well. It was like there was that thing, and then there was something else as well, he's saying. So, and okay. Yeah, you went, He talks really fast when he gets going. okay. Yeah, it went on and it related to something else as well. There were two things as well, like that happened in the evening and something else happened in the evening. He's saying that.
Uh-huh.
Okay, are you gonna give me the you gonna give me the name? He wants to do it in the personal session. He wants to have a personal session with you, Patrice,
okay. And
answer your questions then.
Okay.
You know, sometimes they. I found that, if you want them to ask you, you know, answer a specific thing, they won't do that. They'll give you the answer, but they'll give it in a different way.
Right.
I don't know whether this is the way they have to work or do work, or whether it's just a limitation of my ability, you know. So he says he'd like to do a personal session with you and then start through the evidence, you know, like what we suggested, you know, in the email that I wrote you. We go through and we work through enough evidence to 100% say that it's him there.
Mm-hmm.
Can we do it in that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, is that okay?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Okay, brilliant.
Oh, I want to be there. No, I'm kidding. No,
you know, Evan,
yes.
It occurs to me that I was talking to my friend who's an expert on the Evergreens, which is another medium I've used, and I've talked to Frank through it, and the Evergreens purposely make wrong predictions. Now, it's interesting, if there is a problem for other dimensions to communicate to us and they can't influence us, why wouldn't they, at least in the public format, always leave the doubt there and in that way cover themselves about whether they influenced our behavior in telling us something?
Very true.
You know, so it was clear to me that a medium like the Evergreens or Glow in this situation, they have to keep the doubt there, so that we can only think about what they're saying and never know for certain. And in that way, they can tell us stuff, yet we'll never know if it's true.
Hmm.
And they wouldn't violate whatever it is that we're working out as humans that we can't cheat and know.
Right, right. You know, Bob, in what Patrice is doing with confirming Frank, could you ask James Joyce and Marshall McLuhan a question that maybe you know personally about their background that helps confirm that they are actually who they are also?
Okay. I'd ask James Joyce.
Can we, hold on.
Oh, yes.
Can I just say that this is like, from what I've learned recently, it doesn't work that way. It has to work the other way. If they want to give evidence of who they are, they will give us something for us to go and find out rather than us ask them something.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Give us this. It's like they won't do that. They'll only do it the other way. I don't know why that is, but.
Well, I just explained it. They can't violate the astral bureaucrat. but I'd like
to
ask.
It's a better way to do it, because otherwise, it just doesn't work from what I've seen.
Very good, very good.
And that is going to be a free session. Glow is not getting business from Patrice here. It's going to be done for free.
Oh yeah, yeah, sure. You know, he was expecting her. He knew it would either be her or somebody else that would have turned out, one or two of the family. I mean, he's came in the last couple of weeks and shown me a couple of things that, you know, obviously. things that have been going on or things about them. We've actually sort of kind of got a better relationship, I think, now because it's got a little more personal for him. So I'm seeing another side of him with sort of a different aspect. So
yeah, you told me he was crying yesterday.
Yeah, he was quite emotional. He was quite upset, and he seemed to play his guitar louder the more emotional he gets. So he nearly blew my brain out yesterday. I was like, be quiet. I can't hear.
Okay, Glow. Then, what is the purpose of these communications? Why are they doing this? What do they want to stress? And even though, you know, humans want to know the details, they can't give us the details, or they're going to play games with it for justified reasons. What do they want us to get from this experience that we're doing tonight?
Okay, primarily what they're here to do is they're interested in information and knowledge, and M's holding his hands out like wider, making things wider, bigger, expansion, you know. It wasn't their intention to actually come and do these things to prove life after death.
Right.
They can do that. You know, I mean, obviously now Patrice is here. I mean, that's a great opportunity for us because it's somebody that Frank can tell us things that we couldn't possibly, you know, only somebody really closely related to him would know, either a relative or a friend.
But he won't do it in this public format.
Well, I'd rather not do it. And, it might be emotional, and they have things to talk about. And, you know, I'm sure we all love to hear it. But
yeah, well, you know.
We all want to hear it, don't we?
Oprah would love to hear it, too.
Like that. But, if it's your... He's very private. A very private person, especially about, kind of his family and his friend. He's real... he doesn't like that kind of thing being public, I don't think. I think he hid quite a lot of himself. You know, when he was here, I get that impression from him.
He did himself what?
He kind of hid quite a lot of his personal life and, you know, his family or whatever. He wouldn't, his emotions, how he felt and stuff wouldn't necessarily show them, wouldn't want those connections being known out in the public world, kind of
right.
Like.
And Patrice, I know that's true. You know that too.
How true it is when I was in New York. That night that I met you.
A year ago.
Yeah, and I was backstage with Project Object, and we were all talking, and I brought a copy of the book for Ike to have.
Ike Willis.
And Don Preston was back there, and he was thumbing through the book, and he came over to me, and he had this very troubled look on his face, and he says, "Can I ask you a question?" I went, "Yeah." He says, when Frank was on tour in the 70s and stuff, was I around, did I get to hang out? And I said, well, I didn't get to go on tour or anything with him, but, I was there occasionally, I would visit. And he looked at me, he stopped, says, "I'm so sorry, I honestly did not know Frank had a sister."
Wow.
I said, "Well, now you do, and please."
And that's a longtime friend of Frank's. You know, they go back to late 50s, early 60s.
Yeah.
And that shows you Frank did not tell him about his private life.
Yeah.
This is KPFK, 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara County. You are tuned to Radio Alchemy on Something's Happening at Roy of Hollywood. And dag nabbit, isn't something happening? On the line is a party line, all right? In the UK, we have the Channeler. In New York, we have Bob Dobbs. In North Hollywood with me, we have Patrice Zappa. And joining us, and you know what, they're probably in front of you, Channeler, Frank Zappa, James Joyce, and Marsha McLuhan. For some reason, I feel that they are so much closer, that they can be everywhere at once, and I'm sure they can. And they are with you right here and now, darlings, inside your cranial cavities. And if you want to ask a question, the number is 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Okay, we'll be back right after this short break. Thank you guys for being up late. Radio Alchemy.
Eclipsing conventional wisdom. All alchemists converge at www.radioalchemy.com for streaming audio and more.
the alteration affected the chemistry of the line that becomes Cro-Magnon man, affected the chemistry of their brain. And that memory allowed them to reflect, and then that created a more sophisticated interaction among the apes who were to become humans.
I wanted to play that again. That's the thing that I completely cut off too early, where you got to hear Bob from 1999 state what the New York Times just reported on March 25th, that they found that the growth of the human brain was linked to a manipulation of the jaw. You can read that in the journal Nature on the web. You can find it in the New York Times. But remember that somebody said it first, and that somebody was Bob. So, you know what? We have a caller. Would you like to take a caller, dear?
Okay.
All righty. Gabriella from Azusa.
Hi, Evan. It's interesting how you mentioned omnipresent, because that was my question. I wanted to know if the three beings are omnipresent, in that if I could channel, could I see exactly what the channeler sees? Hmm. And reciprocally, do they feel and see and hear all of the listeners?
Hmm.
All of us who are, you know, listening to this. And this is kind of funny, by the way. They're funny. So I'll take the answer off the air. Thank you.
Thank you, Gabriella.
Okay, I got a little bit. She wants to know that if she could channel, would she see what I saw?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just see them standing there, just like you know, if you stand in front of someone, they see you how you are, don't they? So I just see them how they look. I physically see how they look.
Another question was whether they are omnipresent. Do they have a universal sense of the people that are tuning in to this broadcast? Are they outside the confines of... They're materialized. That essence is materialized in front of you. Is that the summation of them? Or are they more omnipresent, universal than that?
What's the range of their ESP?
Yeah.
Okay, he says, yeah, they can. That's something that they can actually change. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I suppose if you meditate, you know, you can get to a higher mind. It's exactly the same with them, although they are more, they're more aware of a collective thing. They will hear certain people's thoughts sort of come out that are listening. So they'll get little bits of information kind of being sent at them. So they pick up those things. They don't necessarily are looking externally for them, but it's just things that actually come up and show themselves to them.
Like a radio, they can tune in on the level they want to.
Yeah, that's right. They can feel the actual, like, the ambience of all of us collectively, of how we're listening. And yeah, okay, yeah. And they feel the whole thing, but they don't. He's saying he feels it. He doesn't hear it, though.
Right. Very
so cool. He said it would be too much information. He wouldn't be able to answer any questions because he would have too many thoughts in his head. So they
block it. They filter it.
Yeah. He's saying that, you know, when they're trying to do certain things, they need a certain type of clarity also.
Very good.
Well, what was the first question? So the person who called, could, if they were you, Glow, or were having the same experience, they would see them just like you? It was a perceptual question.
Yeah, I mean, it depends what kind of medium you are.
Right,
I mean,
exactly.
Some people, you know, see them, some people hear them, some people feel them. So there are lots of different, you know, I mean, no way is better than any other way. They're all just different ways of receiving information. So,
and when you were here, when you visited us here in New York City, and you were in my living room, Joyce was standing through a table.
Yeah, that's right. They don't normally like that. They don't like, you know, like yesterday I shut the door and came in and they were all outside and they were like banging on the door and I was going, no, walk through the door. And they were like, and Frank was like, ooh, I just don't like that. You know, he just didn't like, it does, you know, it just feels a bit weird kind of walking through things to them. So
they didn't like the door shut. They want to walk through an open door.
Yeah, they wanted me to open the door so they could walk in.
Well, you know, Evan Glow told me after our last session, she went and took a few courses from psychic trainers just to fine-tune her abilities. And in the first day in the course, the three of them came and sat with her in the course and watched the opening instructions.
Whoa. Well, did anybody else notice, Glow?
That was the very first kind of, we hadn't even sort of started. Yeah, there was one specific instant where people were, you know, we were in a church as well. It was like a spiritual, you know, you have to sing hymns and all this kind of thing. And it's, and this place was like, I mean, we're talking about 300 mediums there. Okay. And you got Frank there with his guitar singing hymns.
And you're saying that there was a medium at Dom?
Now. It's going to really embarrass me. Somebody come and take him out. And there was like people staring at me. And I didn't say anything. I thought, no, it's not happening, blah, blah. And pretended it wasn't nose, but, you know, there were real people. And the guy that ran the course just glared at me. And I was like so embarrassed. I was like, oh, no. Can I have some fluffy love and light guides, you know? And I got Frank with his guitar sort of sliding down the aisle kind of thing.
And some of them could see him.
Pardon?
You're saying that some of the mediums there could see him.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell by the way people were looking at me. They knew something was going on.
What do you think of that for Chief Frank showing up in a medium and pushing the envelope?
Yeah, I mean, they came in. I got a couple of other people come and hoik him out after all because it was, like, really embarrassing. I was like, no, sit down, be quiet. But he was being, like, the really badly behaved older brother, you know.
Such a prankster, man.
Yeah, he was having a lot of fun, though. He really enjoyed that.
Are you getting what we're saying, Patrice?
Yeah, I've had some experiences myself. I've had dreams about him several times. That's how he visits. And one dream in particular that I had, I don't know what the location was, but we were. he was dressed in a white shirt and a tie and some like gray slacks. And he was standing behind me, and he had his arms around me, and somebody was taking our picture. And one thing Frank was, he was strong. He could bear hug, like, very strong. And then he sat down in a chair. We were kind of like facing each other, and he was putting on his jacket, straightening up his tie. And I said, well, Frank, how are you? And he says, I'm great, but God, I'm so busy. It's like, it doesn't, and the torture never stops.
Yeah, he's very mischievous. He's got a real mischievous side to him.
Oh,
he's
yes.
Quite cheeky.
Maybe Glow's keeping him busy, Patrice.
I think he's keeping her busy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, we have a call from Carl. Carl. Oh, doggone it, Carl. Where'd you go, man? Okay, I was just going to invite him on. Maybe he'll call back. 818-985-5735. 818-985-KPFK for anybody that wants to get in on this cosmic discussion. I had a question real quick for the gents. When we look at the idea of monarch programming, the idea of, for one, do they recognize the idea of alters, split personalities, and that? Do they recognize that as a phenomenon?
Here.
On Earth.
Okay, right. Okay, let me... He's not, okay, Anna's just to try and decide how he's going to answer this question. You know, I don't think it's not as prevalent as it once was, those kind of things that happened. It was something, a lot of that type of, that line of, he's showing me a line, like a line of things was experimental, very
yes.
Experimental. He's saying that... things now are much more specific, like it would be, to do specific things. But a lot of the...
You mean that the programming is going on, but for a specific task versus...
Yeah, but it's not so... It's nowhere near as malevolent as it once was.
Manipulative.
Yeah. No, he said it's nowhere near as... thing. It's more of a, like a positive... You know, I wanna remember more positive mind programming rather than, mind control. It's not control over one person over another. It's more one person having more control over themselves. Mm-hmm. So it's perhaps, yeah.
More therapeutic.
Used in a different way, he's saying.
More therapeutic now.
And?
More therapeutic. Like and, therapy.
Yeah, definitely. More expansive of the person, so it's more a person's growth kind of thing.
Well, that's Bill Monroe. Bill Monroe offers that, the Monroe Institute, and he apparently helped the CIA in the 60s, but then he turned into self-empowerment techniques.
Yeah, that's right, uh-huh. He was the astral projection guy, isn't he? Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Can I ask a question that doves off that? For that idea of self-betterment, Marsh McLuhan made this statement in one of your lectures that personal evolution is the key point. It seems that when we talk about evolution, we always talk as a species, we talk as a group of people. Maybe this will be too hard of a question to answer in this way, but what did he mean by, why is personal evolution the most important thing versus group evolution?
Okay.
That might be too lengthy.
All right, he's quoting Plato here, know thyself, he's saying. Is it Plato who said that? No?
Yes.
Yeah, he said he liked longer quotes. So he took it and expanded it. Okay, how are you going to, all right.
Do we?
Okay, he's saying from a personal aspect, we have to evolve outwards. So the more we evolve, the wider out we become. So we actually, evolve into a collective. So you can't go from the other way backwards, kind of thing. You have to do it that way. It has to be a personal evolution into that.
So that's why revolutions never work, right? A forced change.
Yes, absolutely. He's saying there's a very good point here. Nobody got it at all. Nobody still gets it. He's saying there is so much in that film. He rates that one as the best one.
What? You said film?
Yeah. Yeah, you know The Matrix, the second one? The one nobody knew what it was about, really.
Ah, the part two is the best film, they think.
Yeah, he's saying that is the one that is really good, but nobody's
getting it. And Eben, that's the one I said was really good, remember?
Yeah.
Even you didn't like it.
No, I didn't.
I'm still trying to understand it. I must admit, there's lots of bits in there that I still, can't get my head around.
But I only didn't like it because of the great departure it made. But maybe what they departed from was more, La La Land, and this is getting down to truth that there is. So within the film, for Mr. McLuhan, who is the architect?
Okay.
He's introduced. And
are you saying the AN, the android meme?
No, the architect, the man that Neo meets.
Oh, right.
In the back door.
He's saying that's the android meme.
Yeah.
Oh.
I was right again.
So hold it, that was not flesh? That was okay.
Yeah, that's code.
That's code. But he gestures in that speech, he gestures and says, we can accept many lives, many dead lives if Neo chooses not to go on this path. Is he talking, is the android meme then was...
It's like he was an archetypal figure. Oh, my word, that's a mouthful. Okay, M's saying an archetype, like, you have an archangel, it's like an archetype. I've never heard of that before.
That's a real one.
Bob, does that make sense?
Yes. What it is that the architect is the technology that's the most conscious. It's techno, it's code, but it's really human. It's coming very close to us. It's the most conscious of all those people in the movie, like Neo and Trinity are code. And the architect is on top of it and modulating it. That's why the architect ends up at the end with the Black Oracle and the little girl.
Yeah, right, okay, yeah.
They're the ones who made the whole movie.
Uh-huh, okay, yeah, okay, I'm with you.
You see what I'm saying, Eben? Is that the architect is code, but it's code to unconscious.
It's self-aware of itself.
And therefore could control and massage the situation, which resonates with our opening theme that when humans were altered by the Boodians, we developed willpower, a little space in isolation that could modulate our behavior, which then relates to this idea of evolution. Most beings are born and are paranoid. And we're in our little cells, our little emotional wall, and we have to evolve to connect with other people, and that's where the collective comes from. But we have to move out of our original initial infantile paranoia.
Which is the, yeah, absolutely. Infantile paranoia, which then, what, becomes a meme that affects the minds and moves people into self-destruction, in a sense?
No, that's good. It creates a meme. The meme is the collective connecting.
Right.
And as much as we remain personal inside ourselves, our own little worlds, we are controlled by memes, cultural memes, and it looks like that's what we should work for. So we get confused.
Yeah, it restricts us, he says. It's restrictive.
So we're not really, we are not worthy yet, other than all the evolution we've gone through, we're still working on becoming human in a collective sense.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Okay, we have, the lines have blown up, darling, so let's try and darlings, all of you on hold, please try and keep the comments short. We have 20 minutes left, around 10 callers. We want to get to you all, but don't worry, we'll be doing this again, but let's try and get to you. David, you are calling out of Van Nuys. You have a question.
Yes, I have a question. I was listening to Frank Zappa on a KLOS the other night, and they played a tape of him talking, and he said, he goes, well, what did you think of the Beatles? And he goes, I didn't like them. And I want to know, was he just being flip, or what was that all about?
Good question.
Okay, I think I got that. You were talking about the Beatles and why he didn't like them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or did he mean it?
It sounded like he meant it, but it also sounded like he was being a little flip.
Okay. He didn't like the way they were all looked. They all looked the same. They all wore the same suits. You know, it was like clones. He's saying clones. They look like clones.
So that's scary.
And that aspect he really didn't like. It was like not individual.
So that makes sense.
That's wild. All right, thanks so much.
Call okay. David, that makes total sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because Frank, his whole dogma on the first album, Freakout, was for people to throw out their collective clothing and become individuals.
Yeah.
And so that makes perfect sense. That's how the Beatles were presented.
Yeah.
Dave, thank you so much, darling, okay?
All right, thank you.
Thanks for being up late. All right, darling, coming up, Andrew in Los Angeles. Andrew, you're on.
Yeah, good morning. About 1984-85, Frank Zappa went to visit a friend at a computer center in Los Angeles, and he signed his name as he was leaving the facility. And I was wondering if he could name that facility. It was a banking computer center. If he could name what that computer center was in 1984-85. He was dressed in a suit and tie and never said one word, just signed his name and left.
Okay. It showed me the building. It's like a big, massive, we're like kind of inside it. It's very white and big, open, space, like a warehouse kind of thing.
This
and
is correct. Okay.
Hey, bingo! We got it correct.
Yeah, and he signed it. Did he tell me he signed it on the wall? Was it the wall?
There were no signs on the wall.
Okay.
Did you say?
Well, maybe it is. Yeah. Okay. Symbolic, as in, you know, I signed. Yeah. Okay. No, I just see the big building. He's like, you know, I'm in it now. He's taking me. I was like, I have to wander around, look for a sign.
And there were no signs.
No,
I can't. Well, I'm actually, he's just showing me as if we are in it. I'm like looking around the building, but, you know, when you're in it, the sign's probably on the outside. But,
no,
you know, these things are
no
hard. What you're asking me is hard. It's hard.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Okay,
what did you say,
other people, but it's hard for me.
Andrew said that there was no sign on the door.
On the building.
Okay.
None.
On the building.
None. It's unmarked, even today.
Do you agree with that glow? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, right. Well, yeah, you know. I mean, I can't. He's taking me inside the building. I'm just looking around at what he's showing me, but I can't, you know, I can't see anything. There's no, I mean, sometimes you can see insignias or a motto or I can't see anything. Just white. It's just big and white.
But he cannot name the name of the bank, huh?
No, he's not playing. He's not playing. I don't think I'd be able to get it, to be honest.
Yeah. I'm telling you, Andrew, every time we've tried to ask Frank a question, he's quite a trickster. He never answers anything directly. But we appreciate your try at that, definitely.
But the building is absolutely all white. She's correct on that.
Yeah.
Great.
And, you know, how about this, Evan? If spirit is a right hemisphere, even though it's not our brain, but if we think of it as a non-logical, non-left hemisphere environment, maybe naming is hard.
Yeah, it's
but
absolutely.
But he can transport her immediately to the hologram.
Right, exactly. Hey,
that's
Andrew.
Amazing.
Andrew, darling, thank you for your call.
Thank you so much.
Right.
Bye-bye.
On. Bye. Coming up next is Carl, long-lost Carl. Go ahead, Carl.
Hello, how are you?
All right, brother.
Good. Question is, do we as human beings have spiritual guides? And if we do, are they inclined to help us with problems on the earth plane?
Oh, great question.
Okay. Are you asking me that? Or those
yes,
guys?
You. You.
Okay, definitely.
I have people that help me. I mean, we call them guides, but I don't know whether we make agreements before we actually come here or we make agreements when we're, you know, like astral traveling with other people that we don't. And I think that most of these people, these guides or these people around us that help us, are people that we've known before. And they're like old friends, like the people that I work with. It's just like, you know, when you meet somebody you've known for ages or you just click with somebody. It's that kind of feeling.
Well, how do we contact
How do you contact with them? Yeah. There are a lot of good books on the market. I mean, if you go out and have a look in some bookstores, there are ways that you can...
Hey, Glow, hold it, Glow. The caller's saying that didn't work. Those books, he's done all that, it didn't work, he's saying. Did it work? He doesn't know it?
Did you not sense anyone there?
The stuff worked.
Pardon?
Listen, hello?
Hello?
Yeah, listen, could you, can I get an answer from Frank or
McLuhan?
On the same
question?
Yeah,
okay.
Question.
Yeah, you know, they're saying, yeah, they say that they don't even make the distinction between somebody being, you know, in one sphere and this sphere. That he said that you have many people around you always in your life to help you with what you're learning at that time. And it doesn't necessarily have to come from a source that, you know, is outside of this realm.
Well, how do we call
it? It says, in fact, in most cases, if you're paying attention, all the answers that you're looking for will come to you in this realm.
Mm. Well, how do we contact the spirit guides?
How do you contact them?
Yeah, ask Frank that, please.
Okay. Well, he's only, you know, for him, it's the other way around. You know, he wanted to contact somebody that was living, so he had to find somebody that could see him. So it's a difficult question to answer, isn't it?
Yeah, very.
Because it all depends on, you know, what you're actually trying to, you know.
Just ask him this.
Pardon?
Ask him this. Ask him what would be my winning lottery numbers here in California?
We don't like those.
Yeah, just ask him. Whatever he gives me, I'll take, okay?
Okay. What, are you going
to? Yeah.
Yeah, he wants Frank to answer that. In any way.
Anyway. Winning lottery numbers.
He's saying, he said he embedded all the numbers in the titles of his albums.
Oh, I told you this guy.
So I have to go and get the album. Which album?
All of them. He says you need all of them.
Have a good night.
Thanks, Carl. Okay. Now, Carl wasn't happy with that. I mean, come on, you guys.
That was Frank's brother, Carl. That was Carl Zappa, right, Patrice?
No.
You know what? I don't. Now, why couldn't they answer that? Because, I mean, that's not really playing with, you know, the elections of the United States. But
the lottery numbers?
Yeah.
We're still kind of, you know, it's...
What do they say to that?
Let's talk. It's a life-changing event that alters not only your fate, but your destiny. And it's not worth it, they say. It's not worth the money.
Oh, yes, it is.
Okay. Yeah, we can argue that point back.
Well, that's an interesting point. We are coming in this life program. We're worrying about technologies turning into robots. We're programmed so much in each life, right?
Yeah.
Right. All right, let's go to Sal in Moreno Valley. Hey, Sal.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask if, I had two questions. I wanted to ask if Mr. Zappa felt that he finished his soul's purpose when he was here.
Hello? Okay, yeah. Has Frank finished his soul purpose?
Right.
When he was alive. Did he?
When he was alive.
Right. Did he feel? Does he think?
Nowhere near it. No, I think he's thinking.
He didn't finish.
No, he was warming up.
Okay, was Frank murdered? Did he get cancer of his own actions, or did someone plant cancer in him?
He believed it that it was his own personal, part of his own personal growing is the wrong word now. Okay. You know, like a learning experience for him.
So does he think he should have done something differently so he was healthier so that he could have lived longer and finished the project?
No, he said he doesn't think it would have made a difference, you know. He has some regrets, but most of those, I think, are kind of personal. He's coming back. He's coming back.
He's here now.
Pardon?
He's here now.
yeah, exactly.
I also had another question. I wanted to know if what his view is or if how he feels as us being multidimensional beings living not just right now but like a future part of us or a past part of us somewhere.
Are you asking, Sal, if we live simultaneously on different dimensions presently?
Correct.
Okay.
And you're asking if Frank agrees with that?
Right. Or maybe any of your responses or his?
Okay.
Let's hear
from
his.
James or McLuhan. Frank.
Okay. He personally, Frank says he doesn't know and he doesn't understand that yet. He knows about it.
That was one of his concepts, that all things were happening all at once. He often said that.
But he still doesn't understand it.
Mm. Even from the perspective of that dimension.
It doesn't make a difference, he says. It's about, you know, I mean, M's going back. It's still about that point of personal evolution. You can be at that point aware of all these things and understand them and know them. M is saying you can do that from here. You don't necessarily have to be there. There is an advantage, but in terms of still your ability to perceive, there is no difference, he's saying. That's why the personal thing is so important.
Right.
Sal, darling, thank you so much for your call.
That's like trying to understand the God or Goddess or the All. We're still trying to figure it out.
Okay, we're going to go on to our next call because we're losing time, Dagnabit. But Trini, you're out of Riverside. You got a question.
Hi, yes. My question is, why do I feel sometimes like we're just like kind of like containers? And I don't know, it's like the soul or whatever we're carrying, we have to carry it somewhere like collectively. It's like a strange, weird feeling I get. And this is like the ones like perfume bottles, you know? And once the one recipient is no good anymore, they fill the next one, and that's where reincarnation and all of that. I don't know. Like, they take, you know, somewhere for like a trip, you know? Why do I get that feeling sometimes?
Okay, sorry, can someone repeat that? I'm having problems hearing it. I've got a lot of traffic here. Can you just repeat the question?
Yeah, why do I feel like we're only containers? Like, whatever soul or whatever we're carrying through life is going to be emptied into the next container, you know, until we get somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's talking about the idea of you have the body and the soul. The body is the container and there's the soul. And why does he have the feeling that his soul will just be placed in different containers along a path?
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, I'd agree with that one. Definitely. Yeah.
Why is that?
Is I don't know. Is there like a, we're going to get somewhere?
Evolution of your own soul, of your own person, your own journey, you know. And it's a unique journey. We all have unique journeys. No two are ever going to be the same.
Glow, what does James Joyce say about that?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
What is what?
He's going to ask, she's going to ask James Joyce.
Okay. Okay, he's like, this isn't a kind of an abstract answer here he's giving me here. He showed me like as if he was flying through the air. And the further he's getting, it's like the more that can go through him.
Yes.
Okay, so it's like it's getting easier to fly. It's like there's no less resistance. That's the word I'm using. It's like literally the wind that's going through him. And the further along he gets along this line, the more it can go through. The more he's not even there himself. It's like he looks now to me just transparent. So there's an odd kind of answer for you there, I'm afraid.
And it's a perfume.
Yeah.
One other quick question. Like, my grandfather was a very spiritual man. He passed away a long time ago. And I know if he could have contacted me after he died, he would have done it. And he hasn't done it. Why do you think that is? It's like, you know, it makes me feel like there's nothing after that. I don't know.
Okay, maybe not the fact that he hasn't contacted you. You know, it's being aware enough to be perceptive of them around us, you know, because they're around us a lot. They love to come visit us. They're, you know, they're really nosy in the spirit world. They really are. They spend a lot of time around us. They, you know, in a lot of readings that I've done for people, they, you know, they know everything that they've been up to and what they've been doing, and they can find out things about us as well that, we've never even told anyone. So it's an absolutely amazing sort of information they can actually get. We all get the, you know, it's like seeing something out the corner of your eye, you know, and you kind of turn your head really quickly, and it's like, you know there's something there, but you
right.
can't see it, and you're kind of, you're thinking, there something there? Is it? Isn't it? You know, there's a lot of doubt that goes on with ourselves and stuff. And I think it's our doubt that blocks us and fear as well. A lot of the time we get frightened because we can sense somebody around us, but we're not sure. Because we can't see them, it becomes scary, you know. You have to open the door, too, to let them come in, you know, and be open to it.
Fantastic. Tarini, darling.
Good rant there, Duo. Very good.
Yeah. Tarini, darling. Wanted to thank you so much for your call, Tarini, okay?
Yeah, thank you, Evan.
Okay. All right, dear. Going to Joe in Irvine. Joe.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Very interesting discussion.
Yeah.
Enjoying it very much. You keep talking about such interesting stuff. I've forgotten my question. Almost. Well, really, Frank had a heck of a nerve getting his tape stuck in my car tape deck. I couldn't get it out, so I had to listen to him for like a month. On one side was Joe's garage, the studio, and on the other side was live at the Fillmore, like the closing of the Fillmore.
That was a good album.
Yeah, it's great. But it's really a tricksterish sort of thing for him to do. Tell me, he has a heck of a nerve doing that.
So your question is, did he do it?
That's a good question. I'd like to know.
Sorry, I didn't hear. I can't hear at all, Bob. I didn't hear any of that. Can you just repeat the question for me?
This guy had his cassette in his car was stuck, and he heard these two albums by Frank over and over months ago for a whole month. He enjoyed the albums, but he felt that Frank was there and screwed up the cassette, so he'd be forced to hear it. What did Frank say? Did Frank pick out this guy's car and do that?
He says, no, it wasn't me. But was it, was there something specifically that he learned from that album?
Caller, Joe? Did you learn something from that album?
I have.
I think somebody...
Like, I got it more a couple of years ago when I was listening to it more. The humor is really like kind of a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
It's what's so powerful about drawing us to his message, but I think that it's also partly why he can't take certain very serious things seriously.
Yes.
Which may be why he's not quite done.
Hey, darlings, we have around 2 minutes left. We have two calls. Let's see what we can do about them. Joe, I appreciate your call, darling.
Thank you very much.
All right. Good night. All right. Let's go to Kyle real quick. Kyle, darling.
Hi.
Hi.
It's great to hear from you tonight. I'll make my question real quick. For 3 years, I used to tend bar at the famous Lakeside Golf Club in Los Angeles, and Dweezil's a member there. And Dweezil had told the executive chef when they were golfing outside one day that Dweezil was remodeling some of Frank's studio, and when they were lifting the floor of the studio, they found one of Jimi Hendrix's guitars. Is it possible? I don't know, Patrice, if you know anything about this, but is it possible that Glow can get Frank to maybe confirm that?
Patrice?
I don't know anything about it.
All right, Glow?
I know a little bit about it, but what does Frank say, Glow?
Okay. They knew each other?
Did Hendrix know Frank, you're asking?
Yeah, no, that's what he said. He said that we knew each other.
Right.
Is and that I right? I don't know. It's just I'm coming from what he told me.
Well, I know that he did get a guitar. He got the guitar that was burned either at Woodstock or someplace.
That's right.
It's talked about that.
That's right. And that's what Dweezil had mentioned to Marcus, that it was one of the guitars that was very special to him, and that it was a surprise to even Dweezil that it was underneath the floorboard of the studio.
Fantastic, folks. Really appreciate your phone call, Kyle. Don't worry. The gang's going to be back again, darling. So keep your questions brewing. And thanks so much. All right?
All right.
All right.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Okay, last one. Chris in Glendale. Chris, you're the last one, darling. Go ahead.
Thank you so much. Number one, Frank was so far beyond the society of his day,
Chris,
don't understand his music.
Chris, darling, we only have a time
okay,
for a question.
Okay, my question is awesome. What would be your comment on infinite space and infinite time? I mean, Frank's around, but what would he comment on space and time?
Thank you for that call, Chris. Okay, we'll see you. Thank you, dear. Okay, go right ahead.
Okay, Frank's going space and time. He says, think about just expanding outwards and keep expanding and about it never stopping. And just sit there and really think about what that feels like, about just of keep going out, and out and out and out.
We're getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah, but even just the mental concept of sitting and thinking of that process of just, you know. And that's one of the ways that I actually work to be able to see them, is by expanding outwards.
Fantastic. You guys, we are out of time. We are to the edge, and that is where all of you have taken us. Let me thank you, Glow, in the UK, darling. You are fantastic, man.
You're welcome. Thank you, Evan.
So amazing.
You were great, Glow. That was great.
Yeah, and Bob, thank you so much. In New York, getting up early and putting this all together. Really tremendous, Bob. Thank you for your generosity and all that you do, man.
You're welcome, Evan. You're worth it.
And thank you, Patrice, for joining us. You were kind of hanging out and listening to all this. Hopefully you'll come back again and you'll have a fantastic session and maybe you'll share a little bit with us. But we very much appreciate you coming on with us tonight.
My pleasure.
All right, darlings. Until next week, thank you so much for hanging out late. All of you fantastic callers, you all rock, and all of you that hung out, love you all. Until next week.